Blog Talk Radio.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Pete!
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm truly honored in the name of Jesus to be live before you on this evening. I'm Pastor Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw, Ministry and Friends, where I'm your host, Pastor David A. Shaw of Monument of Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything in the name of Jesus. As we come before you on this evening, praise God, before we go any further, we first and foremost want to give all honor and praise to God in the name of Jesus for being the head of my life. Thank God for the present spirit of the Holy Spirit to be on the inside of a spirit and your anointing in the name of Jesus and baptize the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. We also want to honor my wife, my queen, Lady Diane Shaw, who is my better half and my rib in the name of Jesus on the inside of my soul. And we also would like to acknowledge our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout, out of Atlanta, Georgia, a truly blessed and anointed man of God in the name of Jesus. We truly thank God for coming before you on this day. As we say hello and God bless to all those listening by way of followers that are on Facebook and Skype and Blog Talk and my followers that are also on YouTube. We also thank you for, praise God, joining us in on the chat room in the name of Jesus. And then if you happen to venture off into the archives in a latter time, be blessed equally as well. We don't want you to stop before the miracle happens. Keep on listening in as we go forward in the name of Jesus with the reading coming out of the Book of Destiny written by Bishop T.D. Jakes. This is a spirit-filled book that aids the motivation and pushes the person to achieve that which is already given by God on the inside of them, in the inside of a believer, to step into their purpose. We want to acknowledge, praise God, that we at Monument of Hope and Deliverance, and also we go by Lady Diane and myself, and Pastor Shaw Ministry, and Lady Diane Ministry and Friends, where we do work constantly in the ministry. We have on, praise God, Monday, we have Eddie Shaw coming forth with his message and experiences that he's had in his life on Monday. And then, praise God, on Tuesday, praise God, we have Tuesday and Wednesday, we have what's called the Godhead study in the name of Jesus. We also acknowledge, praise God, that on Wednesday and Friday with the reading on the Book of Destiny, praise God, times to be announced. And we also mentioned from Monday through Friday, Lady Diane and I come forth with an anointed corporate prayer each morning from coast to coast. And all that in between. From the Pacific Coast, we started not at 7 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 a.m. in time. We come from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, we come from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And then on Eastern Time, we come from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. The Word of God says, praise God, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and that is, man ought to always pray and not cease. Out of the book of Luke, men ought to always pray and not faint. In the name of Jesus, we acknowledge, praise God, that on today we truly give God all praise, honor, and glory for who he is. That as we diligently continue to press forward, reach the goal and reach the hearts and the spirits of those that are listening, we pray that we're able here at Pastor Shaw, Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends to reach the heart, minds, and souls of those that are out there struggling and stranded by the wayside. We pray and we stand in agreement in the name of Jesus, believing and deliverance. As we come forward in the name of Jesus, recognize that there's purpose in all of our lives. So with that, we come positive with the focus where we read out of Bishop T.D. Jakes' book, Destiny, Step Into Your Purpose. Currently, we're on chapter 4, Destiny. The title of the book, a title of this chapter is Destiny is spelled P-R-I-O-R-I-T-I-C-E. Prioritize. Get your relationships, money, and thoughts in step with your destiny. Going further, we always want to acknowledge God in prayer in Jesus' name. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we come before you on this day, God, come once again humbling ourselves before you. So often as we have so much in the past, God, we just pray and acknowledge you for being the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Master, our Savior, in the name of Jesus, who's able to do far and exceedingly above anything we can think or imagine. We thank you for all today. We are able to come before you boldly before the throne of grace to say hallelujah and glory to your name as we give you praise, honor, and glory for just who you are and all of what you've done clearly and to touch the hearts, minds, and souls of somebody that will help convert, change their thoughts through the reading of what we have on today. We give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful living God. We're reading Destiny in the name of Jesus. I am Pastor David A. Shaw, Mind and Hope and Deliverance. And as we read Destiny, we ask that you continue to stay focused, that the book is written by Bishop T.D. Jakes. When you understand the steps needed to take you to the next level, the only way you can feel content about your life is if you are living according to the priorities you have set. Other people may not understand your choices of your lifestyle or may even reconcile you or ridicule you from them. But when you know why you are making certain choices, their certain criticism doesn't matter. The haters don't matter. Your happiness will come from setting the priorities you need for the vision you have locked into. That doesn't mean you won't have frustrating moments. That doesn't mean you won't want to give up sometimes. It means that when your life is prioritized in a way that makes sense for you to reach destiny, you experience definite satisfaction and true contentment. While other people are seeking satisfaction through things or people or social standing, you have an opportunity for true joy and contentment by having your priorities in order. Your priorities are right when you make choices that lead toward destiny. So what if your cell phone still flips open and doesn't have a touch screen? So what if date night consists of a frozen pizza and a $2 DVD from the vending machine. So what if the bottoms of your shoes are not red and you don't have a handbag with someone's name on it? So what if you don't wear a suit and tie to work? So what if you pass up a date and stay home to help your child with his algebra? So what if you pull away from visionless people who have no plans for your future and don't want you to have any either? When you make decisions about what is best for you based on your priorities, you are much less likely to be concerned about critical commentary from people who have nothing to do with their destiny. Prioritize your relationship. CEOs, politicians, and faith leaders about the importance of relationship. Anyone who understands business knows that the ability to build and maintain relationships with clients, customers, staff, and other companies is a prerequisite for successful business. If you don't build relationships, you are being torn down. Building relationships take time that people often are willing to devote resource for us all. Most of us have, at one time or another, spent a lot of energy, time, and effort investing in relationships that show little return. I don't necessarily mean financial return. I mean advancement, growth, and alignment with your vision. I'd rather you waste my money than waste my time. I earnestly believe that you must qualify the time spent in relationships that may not be destructive, but yet may be counterproductive to what you are trying to accomplish. That's not enough to invest money into your destiny if you waste time. The true barometer to help you elevate the relationship to invest in must center on a significant question. How does this person, if you would approach your time with the same sense of duty as your money, you would see a far greater return. People who are truly engaged want to know, where do I fit in your life and destiny? Until that question can be answered, good people will leave you because they can't live in your clutter of your to maximize the years you have left. Clear and clutter. Priorities can require us to find new friends and associates. Be selective and determine your associations carefully. Prioritize the persons to whom you will spend time and know why they are in your life. Your old buddy from junior high will may not the best person for you to associate with, the hood, and try to prove that you haven't forgotten where you come from. Old acquaintances may have even accused you of forgetting where you come from. Staying in touch with the old gang from the hood is not a requirement for destiny, and you don't have to prove yourself to anyone. Sometimes you simply have to break away from unhealthy people and relationships. When ex-offenders are placed on parole or probation, very often there are stipulations regarding persons they may spend time with to reduce the likelihood of a repeat offense. The first thing to do in deciding what stays in your life and what goes is to determine what nourishment and nourishes you and strengthens you While it is nice to be a philanthropic trying to help while they are not capable of standing strong themselves, if they've been off track and lost time, missed moments, and had failures and delays, before you can help from your heart, you have to stabilize your head, making decisions that invest before you make decisions that withdraw is critical for survival, whether in finances or relationships or time management. Ultimately, you want to be successful so that you can make a difference in the lives of others. Before you can be successful, you have to survive. To move from survival to success, believe and begin to invest in what invests in us. Pour into relationships that pour into you. I know that sounds like common sense, but it's not that common. You've got to have somebody you can feed and who can feed you so you can feed somebody else. Many people feed others who can't feed them, while they completely fail to nourish those who really desire to feed them. When Deuteronomy 25:4 says, "Don't muzzle the mouth of an ox that treads the grain," it simply means feed what it's feeding. If you're feeding people who can't feed, it's only a matter of time before that constant feeding will begin to drain you. Don't keep feeding the same people for years and years. Be intentional about the people you are. If you are to live as a child of destiny, you will attract and interact with three basic types of people. The first most important type of person you will encounter is a confidant. You will have a very few of them in your lifetime. In fact, if you find two or three in your entire lifetime, you are tremendously blessed. Confidants are the people who love conditionally. They are into you. They have your back, whether you're up or down. They are with you for the long haul. If you get in trouble, they won't abandon you. Confidants pull you out of a drug house and love you all the while. You need a good confidant in order to reach destiny. Confidants are for you and with you to intimately intertwined in your life. They are with you to make sure you reach destiny. They will challenge you and confront you out of order. They are not afraid to tell you when you're wrong and affirm you when you are right. Without them, you'll never be God called you to. The next type of person you will encounter is constituents. You will likely have many of them in your lifetime. Constituents are not into you. Rather, they are into what you are for. They are not for you, nor does your destiny matter to them. But as long as you are for what or what they are for, they will walk with you and work with you. But it ends there. Never think they are on your team to stay for a long haul. Constituents are not confidants. Understand the nature of constituents, because These are the people who will walk away if they meet someone else who will further their agenda. Constituents are also looking for a better deal. They will abandon you and hook up with another person who better serves their purpose or their needs. But if you understand who constituents are and their role and purpose in your life, you won't be too sad when they walk away. They were never in your life for you. They were in your life because they perceived that you and they were for the same thing. They were with you as long as you are for what they were for. Throughout your life, it's essential not to get caught up in the hype of the constituency. Any politician tell you that? Have you ever seen a popular politician fall from the grace of his or her constituents? It's amazing to watch as the transgressions of the beloved political figure come to light. Suddenly and swiftly, those who once were supporters began to back away. Take care not to mistake your constituents, clearly at times when you are broken. Constituents will fool you because after falling in love with them, they will break your heart as they abandon you to connect with someone else who is for what they are for. The last people group you will encounter is comrades. They are not for you, nor are they what you are for. Comrades make strange bedfellows. They will team up with you, not so you can reach your destiny, but to fight a common enemy. Don't be fooled or confused by the close connection. They will only be with you until the victory happens. Comrades are likely scaffolding. They come into your life to fulfill a purpose. They give you support for a time, but that time will only last as long as the common enemy lasts. When the purpose is complete, the scaffolding is removed. But don't be upset when the scaffolding is taken away because the building is still standing. Tie your associates with confidence, confidence, constituents, and comrades. Expect the constituents and the comrades to leave you after a while. And please don't be upset when they don't react to your dream the way you expect them to, because they were never for you or with you in the first place. By now, you may be thinking comrades alike, but that's not how the world operates. The only thing you need to do is to carefully and prioritize your relationship, knowing the position and role people play in your life. For instance, be careful who you tell your dream to, because if you tell your dream to the constituents, they will desert you and try to fulfill the dream without you. If you tell your comrades, they won't support you because they were never for what you were anyway. Seek the people in your life who are safe to share your dream with. And if you find just a few during your lifetime, you're indeed blessed. If you are dating a young lady who berates you for not having the material things you delayed purchasing to fulfill your dream, if your neighbor has never treated kindly but comes to you because he wants your help an amendment that will negatively affect your neighborhood, don't get too excited. He's probably just a comrade. When the bill gets defeated after the election, he will go right back to ignoring you. You can separate your comrades and constituents from someone who has political and potential to be a confidant. The simple test. If someone is really with you, they will weep when you weep, and they will rejoice when you rejoice. If you share some good news with someone and they don't rejoice with you, stop telling them your business. Try it sometime. If you walk into a room and tell someone about good things that are happening to you, stop celebrating long enough to watch your reaction, to watch their reaction. If they are not happy for you, shut your mouth, turn around, and walk back out the door. Share your dream with people who want to succeed. Prioritize your finances. The journey to destiny includes every part of your life, especially your finances. Financial advisors will tell you they can look at your bank statement and know where your priorities lie. What does your bank account say about you? Do you look like $1 million or with only a few dollars in your bank or nothing saved for retirement, barely making minimum payments on your credit cards? Are all your credit cards that are their maximum balance? Financial advisors have a saying that if you are sitting on your assets, your priorities are all wrong. In other words, if all your discretionary income is spent on expensive clothes or cars or handbags, and you have no money saved for a rainy day or retirement, your priorities are misplaced. Prioritize your spending so that all of your money is not blown at once on things that are depreciated. Think about the mobile phone you have. If you have one of the latest smartphones, you probably paid a minimum price. Is it worth now? Technology changes quickly. So the phone you paid $350 for a year ago is only worth $150 now. Look at how you spend your money. Are you obsessed with the latest electronic gadgets? Can you drive a car for years after it's paid for? Can you wear clothes that don't come from certain stores? There's nothing wrong with shopping for quality, but the clothes you wear can never make you great. Destiny has nothing to do with the impressing other people with the things you own. You don't need to imagine that you created in order to reach destiny. You are created in the image of God, and that's the only image that matters. Many people choose to invest their time in looking like they've made it, rather than investing time in the things that success. They invest in depreciating assets so that they can't keep up with the Joneses, only to find their house repossessed. Is it more important to have the latest luxury car or to send your children to college? Prioritize your spending so you can be free to travel the road to destiny. Be free to pursue destiny if you are a slave to debt and spending. Choosing to live your dream may mean quitting your job to pursue your calling. But if you're up to your ears in debt, can't walk away from their job. If you owe everybody in town, you never save enough money to buy that dream home you want. Your dream may be to send your children to a private school or boarding or broaden their opportunities, but you probably can't afford it if you're spending money on the latest style athletic shoes or expensive kids' birthday party that your children may not even remember. Prioritize how your money is spent and be a good steward of the financial blessings you have already received, no matter how meager. Show God you can be trusted with the small amount given to you and the amount you Almighty Provider will give you money more. If you're wasteful with small sums of money, you'll be wasteful with large sums too. Prioritize what's important to you to fulfill your dream. It's miserable living someone else's life. It is downright suffocating to live beneath your potential. There is no reward in achieving someone else's plans for your life, but always have an option or an opinion about you should do with your life. Your mother may think you should teach school because that's a vocation that represents a steady paycheck. Your father may nag you about going to medical school because you earned good grades in science. Your best friends think you should open a daycare because you have children. Your grandmother tells you to start a newspaper because it's good with writing. All of those vocations are great, and the service they give to humanity is quite valuable. The problem is that if the vocation is not reflective of your destiny, it's no good. Believe it or not, some have never been allowed to prioritize their own lives. There's a son who longs to sculpt. Parents are both PhDs. They use parental pressure to stir him to a vocation that is more palatable to them. There's a daughter who loves cars and dreams of being a master mechanic, but her boyfriend has discouraged her because he doesn't think it's suitable work for a woman. Set your priorities for destiny and forget about what other people want you for you, no matter how well-meaning their intentions. Only you can have the vision for your life, so only you can determine what's most important to getting there. Other people may not understand or respect the sacrifices you choose to make on your way to destiny, but don't ever let that stop you. Your choices won't make sense to anyone else because they can't see what, they don't know where they're going. Sometimes your choices won't even make sense to people you love most. But those who truly love you will respect your priorities, even if they don't understand them. Your priorities confirm where you're headed because everything you do will be in support of your destination. A person who has priorities will drive an older or cheaper car, will forego designer labeled clothing, pass up the latest model of electronic devices if she has a dream that requires keeping tight control of her finances. When a young man's priorities are in place, he will skip going to shoot some hoops with his buddies in order to spend an extra hour on a school project. A woman will pass on a vacation with the girls because her finance or fiance wants her to go to his family reunion. A man will stay on the job, give him the training he needs for a suitable future rather than make a higher paying dead end job. A couple will opt for a less expensive wedding in order to have more money for the substantial down payment on their new home. People who are living life on purpose have priorities and tend to get more out of life. They are happier even in difficult times because they have a reason to exist. They know why they've made certain choices so they don't feel like victims of living a less than impressive lifestyle. They live in pursuit of destiny rather than in pursuit of the other people's approval. Cultivate a great mind and leave behind small thinking. If you don't prioritize your life in the things that are important to you, you'll get off focus and start investing your energy in trivial matters like lie to who's gossiping about and who's gossiping about someone else. America's former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt observed that great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. You are the one who determines your thoughts. You are the one who determines the issues that are worthy of your time. You have the power to push aside pettiness in pursuit of greatness. Your destiny is greatness. Pettiness and greatness can't occupy the same space. Don't block destiny opportunities from manifesting in your life because you're prioritizing minor issues. If your aunt and your cousin are fighting again, let them work out their own problems because destiny is calling you. If your neighbor refuses to abide by the rules of your homeowners association, let it go. Destiny is calling you. If your surplus employee does a good job, let it go. As long as she's not dealing with the public, the fact that she doesn't have a bubbly personality is a minor issue. If someone you were depending on backs out of a business deal, don't spend a lot of time figuring out why. That's minor. You need to be looking for a new partner. That's major. Greatness runs deep, but pettiness runs shallow and wide. Petty thinking is the fast-moving carnage that will spread itself over greatness in you and eat away at your potential for growth. Stop allowing minor thoughts to occupy your mind. They're not paying rent to reside there. Reserve your strength for the difficult matters of arriving at destiny. There's some stuff you can just leave alone. Every problem that comes across your radar, you don't try to straighten out every dispute that comes before you. Don't chase down every rumor. If people are gossiping about you, let them talk, because the people who are talking negatively about you don't matter. It is dangerous to let minor matters become priority, because when major things happen, you won't have the strength and fortitude needed to deal with it. With what's important, save your strength and don't toss and turn at night over minor issues. Don't dredge up negative experiences and expand mental energy ruminating over them. Don't worry about why people didn't speak to you, why they lied to you, why they didn't invite you to their event. Reserve your energy for your highest and best use. If you are ever to connect with destiny, you must develop the art of handling minor issues appropriately. Potter's house that I've never even known about. My staff knows not to tell me because they know I will get involved in it and try to figure out a solution. I'm glad I have a capable staff that can handle the day-to-day issues that crop up. They know that my time is limited and I can't afford to get distracted by minor problems. But that means something else, too. We hire smart people at the Potter's house. I can't hire limited thinkers. I can't hire mediocre people who I'm smarter than, so they can make me feel superior. No, I have to hire people who are smarter than me at what they do, so I can walk away knowing those people can be trusted to do the job. I've known managers, CEOs, and company owners who are great and get intimidated by people who are smarter than they are. They hire persons of mediocre or very average capability, so they will always feel like they're on top. Hiring smart people makes me feel like I'm on top because I can focus on the tasks that are uniquely mine to accomplish. I don't have to worry about having enough toner for the copier machine or what time the bank deposit got there. I have prioritized and determined that my time is best spent on my destiny, not on keeping track on what everyone else is doing. Praise God. At this moment, we're going to take a break. And when we return, we will continue forth to the conclusion of chapter 4. We do want to truly thank you in the name of Jesus joining us on today as we continue to be in or out of Book of Destiny. And I will fly away. We'll be right back.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. Come on, choir. I got a home in the house.
I've got a home in the house.
Gonna tell this world goodbye.
I'm
gonna fly away.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the mighty name of Jesus. I am your host, Pastor David A. Shaw, Monument of Hope and Deliverance. For hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. We're continuing forth our reading out of the book of Destiny, chapter 4, in the name of Jesus. The segment we're reading now, conclusion to chapter 4, is Destiny, Diminutives, Beginning. When your priorities are set toward destiny, you are aware of where you are and were, where you are trying to go. And because you are aware, you are prepared to seize opportunities as they arise. You don't be so blinded by the big picture that you can't see the smaller scenarios along the way. Attention to the small things, because sometimes greatest opportunity can come through seemingly insignificant events. Sometimes the daily bus ride to work introduces you to your spouse. Sometimes a volunteer position in an organization connects you to the CEO of the company you've been belonging to work for. The Bible encourages us not to despise small beginnings. They often lead to greatness. Greatness has to marinate. The age of television and movies can give the impression that fame is captured and notoriety is gained in an hour of programming or a few weeks of a real reality show. And yes, many people have become well known fairly quickly because of the reality television shows. But there's still no such thing as an overnight success. Every person who attains significance in his or her field of endeavor had to pay some dues to get there, working low-paid jobs, working for free as an intern or volunteer, or giving faithful service on a job, even while the boss takes the credit. God has ordered our existence to operate like a farmer planting seed in a field. If you pray and ask God for an oak tree, the Almighty might send you an acorn, because big things can come from a small beginning. God's answer may not look like your request, get an acorn, but we're expecting a tree. Don't throw the acorn away. Your tree is in the seed. God works through the agriculture principle of planting a seed and reaping a harvest. Your something small can become something mighty if you are a good steward of a seed. Ability keeps you from breaking. Some people have no problem prioritizing and setting their affairs in order. If anything, they're too good at putting things in order. They must live in such a way that everything is in its place and nothing is out of place. We all experience moments when everything is perfectly ordered. But life is just not like that all the time. Things change. Life changes. You change. Your life cannot remain static. You are a living, breathing organism. And in order to get where God wants you to be, you can't stay where you are. Order is essential. But life is full of changes. Sometimes life does not always fit a certain order. People come and go in your life. One minute you have a job, and the next minute you've been laid off. One day everyone's fine, and the next day everyone in the family is diagnosed with a terminal illness. life is full of change. A man can be on a great career path, great salary, regular raises, promotions, and recognitions. He can be a rising star until something happens. The company folds, downsizes. A new CEO comes in and there's a personality clash. It's change, and you have to adapt. People respond differently to challenging times. It's always a jolt when life sends you a tumbling and fall moment. But what do you do when you get knocked down? A person whose priorities are set doesn't let one knockdown keep her from destiny. Instead, she dusts herself off and gets back on the journey. Every observance for subtle changes and signs that indicate destiny may be found in a totally different direction. Maya Angelou often talked about her grandmother, like I often talk about mine. She told how she admired her grandmother for carving a new path of her life when the road she was on got cut short. Annie Anderson's marriage failed in a time when people simply didn't divorce. She had two young children, one physically disabled, and she needed to earn a living. Annie wasn't educated but could read well enough and had a decent ability with numbers. Getting a job at one of the local mills was out of the question. She adapted herself to the prejudice with which the Negro woman in her day had to contend, and she found a way for herself and her family. She began selling fresh, hot than a man working at the mill. She set up outside the mill and began frying as soon as the noon bell rang. Over the years, she built a loyal following and erected a still nearby, a stall nearby, and to sell her pies. In the years to come, her little stall evolved into a general store where she traded with black and white customers alike. Maya recalled that from her grandmother she learned that when life sends us down an ominous road, we must look around and, without embarrassment, pick a new one. It's difficult to continue moving in path toward destiny when life doesn't go the way you planned. One of the hardest things for people to do is to trust and believe God when the transition. You lose a loved one. The marriage you thought would last forever dies. It's devastating when you lose your job or lose a loved one or experience a betrayal by someone you considered a good friend. After the initial shock of loss, a typical human response after a disruptive experience is to restore the sense of order. We quickly try to restore or replace what was lost. An employed person takes a first job offer, whether or not it's a career fit. A widowed person quickly remarries. Yet there are times when it's needed so that God can be allowed to fill the void. God cannot fill a vessel that is already full. God uses empty vessels. Trust God to fill the void created when things don't go as you plan. Human beings can find all kinds of ways to fill the void, loss, and many of them are not good. Substance abuse, compulsive shopping, compulsive spending, excessive eating, sexual promiscuity, and reckless choices are just a few of the unhealthy ways we learn to attempt to create a new order in our lives. Sometimes disruptions actually serve to order our chaotic circumstances and take us to a new place. Like a mother eagle that stirs her nest to bring discomfort to her blood growth, God sometimes stirs up our lives. The shifts and setbacks your experiences are not necessarily the work of your oppressor. Sometimes a setback is a divine setup. Chaos on the outside actually may be God clearing out conditions, situations, or people that are in the way of your path to destiny. But it's hard to ride away when it seems like life's storm will overtake you. It's hard to trust that God is in control of your circumstances, even during tumultuous times. It's easy to see what God is doing in your life once you get to the place God intended. The difficulty lies in seeing by faith what God is doing when you're on your way there. When you arrive at a place where God intended for you to be, you can say, okay, I see what's going on now. Nobody likes hard times, but it is the unpleasant circumstances, the experiences that are often the catalyst to build the character required for our destiny. Let go of your desire to control what you cannot know. Change or control. Let go of the past. Let go of your fear. Let go of your pain. The systems that worked for you in the past will not work for you in the place where God is leading you. When you learn not to defend or define yourself by where you were, you learn not to call the transition in your life change. Instead, they're called normal, and you are a full participant in the movements of your life. Your normal should be constantly collaborating yourself and letting go of who you are to embrace who you are becoming. Determine that you will remain open to where you are going. Lead, and we're willing to take responsibility for the transitions that lead you to destiny. That concludes our reading in chapter 4 of the Book of Destiny. One of the most important parts of that is recognizing the various types of people that we choose to hang around. And when we get associated with those individuals that we recognize, we learn to see those who we cultivate around and those who recognize that they're positive to us in our life, that are going to be with us, to help motivate us and to encourage us. And we recognize that those main people that are going to stand by us, they're not going to pass judgment on us, but we see that are those confidants. Then we have what's called the constituents, and we recognize those also. And then we have what's called comrades. But with the constituents and the comrades, we know who are reading is that they're not the ones who are going to be positive for you, but they're only for a season. The ones that are going to help you to move towards your destiny, those who you trust, those who you can share your dream with. The best person I have for that is Lady Diane. It's someone who is my confidant, but I trust her with my life. And she's my wife, and I thank God for her. This concludes our reading out of the Book of Destiny. I want everyone to have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful time, and meet us Monday. But as we begin Monday, we will start with our Bible readings also. Lady Diane and I, as we read Genesis to Revelation. So, once again, see you Monday for corporate prayer. It's 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock a.m. Mountain time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Again, I thank you for your time today. And we ask in the name of Jesus to recognize no matter how difficult a situation might be, God is still on the throne. But you have to realize that there's some things come in life that we can't do. Understand, God can break every chain. God bless you. And be blessed for breaking every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an all.